morning. I want to begin with the text. It's in Matthew 23. We've been going through the woes of the Pharisees, and I think we're on the third woe here, but this is in verse 16, Matthew 23, verse 16. Verse 16, this is what it says. Woe to you blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, then he's bound by his oath. You blind fools. Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he's bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Then he says this. He says, therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. There's a whole lot of swearing going on here. But it's not the swearing of, you know, it's not the, well, it is a bad kind of swearing. It's just a different kind of swearing. It's just, what's going on here? What's the issue? It's not cussing. The issue here is what is binding and what is not binding. And I found this very interesting. I found that there are approximately 941 lawyers in America. What did I say? 941,000. Did I say 1,000 before? That's important, isn't it? Yeah. 941,000 lawyers in America. Don't know if there's any lawyers here. Probably wouldn't be a good time to raise your hand and say that if you are. But they're trying to make a living by trying to figure out what is binding. What is binding? You know the difference between a good lawyer and a great lawyer? Y'all know this? A good lawyer knows the law. A great lawyer knows the judge. There's the difference there. Yeah. I got to throw this one in, just because. But there was a physician and a doctor and a lawyer trying to figure out which profession came first, you know, which one was first. And the physician said, well, it's easy. You know, where did we get Eve from? God took a rib from Adam and created Eve. So, I mean, it's obvious. Physician was the first career of the world. And the engineer said, no. If you go back to the beginning here, he says, God made the heavens and the earth out of what? Chaos. I mean, that's what engineers do. And the lawyer said, wait, not so fast. Where do you think God got the chaos? Huh? Here's a question. Why do we need so many lawyers in America? And we need all these contracts. You realize when you sign a contract with somebody, I think they cut down like 500 trees so they can make all that paper, so you can sign all these documents. What is up with this? Why? And the thing, we are Christians. We are people of integrity. Christians don't lie, do they? Why are you laughing out there? I got to share a story. My daughter, she got her car stolen a couple weeks back, and so this week we found the car, and I helped her. And I couldn't say anything because I remember when I had a truck stolen. And the way it happened, see, this guy, he just got out of jail, and I don't know if he came to church. I don't know how I found him, but he told me he gave his life to Christ. And he was a painter, and I was building a house at the time, so he came over to our house, and he did some painting for me, and he needed a truck, but he said he's a Christian. But everybody else reminds me, but he also said he just got out of jail. But he says he's a Christian, you know? So I loaned him my truck. I didn't see that truck again for 3 months. And found it down at the casino. When somebody tells you they're a Christian, that should mean something, right? When you tell somebody you're a Christian, that should mean something. Well, you know, people have like an ichthus on their business cards and on a sign. You know what the ichthus is? It's a fish. You know what that means? Nothing. It means nothing. Okay. Why? Because we are not people of our word. We should be people of our word, but we're not. Christians are not people of their word. And listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 33. He says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord.'" And then Jesus says this, "But I tell you, simply let your yes be yes and your no No. Jesus said, no, no. anything beyond this, sorry. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And you know, some of us, we've taken that verse, and I don't know of anybody myself who's taken this verse to the extreme, but I've heard of groups, I think Jehovah's Witnesses, they take that verse, and this is why they don't make pledges, they don't make oaths, they won't say the Pledge of Allegiance. Based on that verse right here, Jesus says, simply let your yes be yes, your no be no. I want to take you through a little bit of history here. I think this is very, very important to take you through history, because Jesus says long ago, you heard people say long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. Long ago, what's he talking about? Well, let me give you some Old Testament examples of this. And I think every one of these verses are important. I want you to look at these verses, take them in. What's going on here? Exodus 22, verse 10 through 11. It says, if a man gives a donkey or an ox or a sheep or any other animal to his neighbor for safekeeping and it dies or it's injured or it's taken away, it's stolen, while no one's looking, the issue between them will be settled by taking an oath before the Lord that the neighbor did not lay his hands on the other person's property. And the owner is to accept this, and no restitution is required. See what's going on here. If you've loaned something to a neighbor, a friend, and it gets stolen, it gets damaged, and your neighbor says, I didn't do it. I swear to the Lord, I didn't do it. What this is saying is you are to take him at his word. Would that be hard for you? If somebody says, I swear, because you think, you know he did something. He stole your property. He damaged your property. He did something. But he says, I swear to the Lord, I didn't do it. Would you be satisfied? Would you take him to court? And what do you think about what the Bible is saying here? If he swears to the Lord, then now it's between him and God. Walk away from it. Leave it alone. Don't you trust that God will handle it? Because he made an oath to God. He swore to God. So now it's between him and God. That would be hard for a lot of us. Because why would that be hard for us? I think a lot of us don't think God will do anything about it. That really shows a lack of faith on our part. I want to move on here. Numbers 30, verse 2, another one here says, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he says. So when you make a vow to the Lord, do it. Oaths were binding. Deuteronomy 23 says, if you make a vow to the Lord, your God, do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it from you, and you will be guilty of sin. And if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made a vow freely to the Lord your God and with your own mouth. So if you make a vow, keep it. If you're not planning on keeping it, then don't make it. Don't let those words come from your mouth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vows. It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not to fulfill it. Leviticus 19, verse 12. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not swear falsely. Don't swear to God if you don't mean it, because that's, you're just profaning his name. You don't swear to God. You don't swear on a stack of Bibles. You don't say this is the gospel truth. If you don't mean it, you're profaning God's name. Now, give you one more here in the Old Testament, and then I'll move on here. But Psalm 15, 1 through 4, it says, who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. He keeps his oath even when it hurts. So the Old Testament has a lot to say on this issue. When you say it, when you make an oath, when you swear to God, you better mean it, and you better do it, and keep it even when it hurts. And the reason we need lawyers is because we're not keeping it when it hurts. We're looking for any way to get out of it. Let me take you to the New Testament. I want to take you to the New Testament because Jesus says, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Does that mean no oaths, no don't swear? Is that what he's saying here? But I found in the Bible, in the New Testament, a couple examples here. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. This is Paul speaking, and Paul says, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness. Now, what is that? God is my witness. What I'm telling you is true. So Paul seems like he's making an oath here. He's swearing to God. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, this is interesting here. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God made an oath. Who does God swear to? He swore to himself, which I think, well, that's really weird. But here, God swears. Why? Why would God do this? And it's to confirm, it's to ensure confidence. The word is true. God says, the word is true. I swear on myself this is true. And if that one doesn't get your interest, I'll give you another one here. Jesus made an oath. In Matthew 26, verse 63, Jesus, he's being tried before the Sanhedrin, and he was silent. And the high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ. Now, what's Jesus going to do here? I don't want to make an oath. Do I swear? Do I do this? And what's Jesus do? Jesus says, yes, it is as you say. When he was under oath, if he's the Christ, he says, yes, it is as you say. So Jesus answered under oath. So I gave you a little Old Testament history, a little New Testament history. Well, bring it to today. Today, what's going on here? Because we make oaths in the courtroom. Do they still swear on a stack of Bibles or anything? Do they still do it? No, they don't do that anymore. Do they swear to anything? Yeah, okay. David doesn't want to talk to me right now, but it's okay. So in the courtroom, they make an oath. Doctors still make an oath. What is that, a hypocritical oath? Yeah. Why do they call it that? Of all things, it just seems like a weird thing to call it. But a doctor makes an oath. Anybody who's in political office makes an oath. The president makes an oath. The vice president made an oath. All the cabinet members made an oath. I think to become a citizen of our nation, you have to make an oath. And then we say the Pledge of Allegiance, isn't that? That's making a vow right there. Business contracts. Business contracts would be, I promise to fulfill my part of this pledge. That's what that is, isn't it? And then we get to taking a wedding vow. And this is something that... our society I worry our society doesn't take that seriously now. You come into a church before a preacher and you make a wedding vow to God to love one another through sickness and in health, through poverty and prosperity, all these things. We made a vow to God. But 5 years later, 10 years later, it didn't mean it? Well, did you not mean it? You fell out of love, so it's okay? You think about how Christians treat this whole issue of taking an oath, taking a vow, making a pledge. I mean, it's one thing for the non-Christian to live that way, but we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be... think about this one. What about when you gave your life to Jesus Christ? When you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you made the good confession, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior. What is that? Would you say that flippantly? Or when you say that, when you're pledging your life to God, then don't you understand? That's a serious pledge. That is a serious pledge. It says in Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But that's a vow. That's a pledge. And the issue here is not the issue, because don't get lost in this here. The issue is not oaths or swearing. The issue is just being somebody of credibility, because you're a Christian. There should be no need for somebody who calls himself a Christian to go beyond their yes being yes or their no being no, that you have to swear on a stack of Bibles to be credible, or you have to swear to the name of God to be credible. When you swear to God, and my thought is, it creates suspicion that your words are not true. Why would you have to swear on God? If you told me yes, I should accept yes as yes. But to add more to that, To me, I worry that it makes you look maybe unbelievable. So we go back to the text here. Woe to you blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. If anyone swears by the gold of the temple, then he's bound to it. But if you swear by the altar, it means nothing. But if you swear by the gift on it, then he's bound by an oath. One rabbi, he says, swearing by Jerusalem means nothing, but swearing towards Jerusalem, then you're bound by it. So if I swear, what was it? If I swear by Jerusalem, I can get away with that. It's kind of like having your fingers crossed. You know, that's what's going on here. If I have my fingers crossed, I didn't mean it. Now, that's kind of cute when you're looking. It actually wasn't cute when you were a kid either. But we're still playing the game. To grow up and stop playing this game that, you know, we didn't shake on it. Or I didn't sign it. I didn't sign that document. You know, if I didn't sign it, then I can get out of that contract. Well, if you gave somebody your word, you gave somebody your word. So this is hypocrisy here. So I got some things. Why would we lie? Why do we lie? Why make an oath? Why not keep your vow? Why not simply let your yes be yes and your no be no? And a couple things that came up. One, maybe we're too proud. We're trying to impress somebody. You know, names dropping, inflated numbers. We inflate numbers. We're trying to look more successful than we actually are. So maybe that's one reason why we find ourselves trapped in a situation where we have to lie to get out of it. Maybe we're trying to please somebody. You know, we didn't mean it. You know, I had my fingers crossed, but I was just trying to tell them what they wanted to hear. I just didn't want them to get mad at me. So I said something I shouldn't have said. I read here 71% of people say they have lied to someone about their appearance. You know, so that's an easy one. We lie about that. Stephanie's grandma used to come to me all the time. Are you losing weight? I think 25 years. Are you losing weight? No, I'm 10 pounds heavier now. What? Are you going blind? You know. To protect, and I think this is where it gets to the heart of it here. Maybe we lie to protect. We're afraid of getting in trouble. We're afraid of getting caught. We're afraid of being rejected or losing our influence. We get concerned. We made a bad deal with somebody, and now we're trying to get out of the deal because we realize we did something stupid. And even, what does it say? Psalm 15, keep your oath even when it hurts. What do we call that? That's an education money. That's, you know, you just got an education there, you know, but you still keep your oath. To profit, so we to protect or to profit, and we make shady deals with somebody. We take advantage of somebody. I read this here. Maybe you remember Joe Isuzu. He was famous for advertising years ago. For 5 years, Joe Isuzu was on the air. He became the most famous liar in America. Don't know if anybody remembers this guy. He was a reptilian TV ad man who looked straight into the camera and said, Isuzus only cost $9, and they get 94 miles to the gallon. And if you buy one soon, you'll get a free house. And then behind him, it was saying, he's lying, he's lying, he's lying. But he kept on continuing. He kept on going. He says, Isuzus go 300 miles per hour, and they seat the same number of people as the Astrodome. And they are roomy enough to carry the state of Texas. And once again, the words were behind him. Liar, liar, liar. Well, he was very successful at this. He sold a lot of stuff using this technique. What does it say? Sales went up 21% because young people today are cynical. They're used to being lied to. And at least this guy was honest about the fact he was lying to them. So they bought his product. I think there's, anyway, interesting stuff. So it's pride. It's to please. It's to protect. It's to profit or to escape. You know, this is why we lie to the police officer so we can get out of a speeding ticket. 32% of Americans lie to their spouse about the cost of a recent purchase. Yes, those would be non-Christians. Christians don't do that. 60% of Americans have called in sick when they weren't. Have you done that? That one gets on my nerves. Just saying. I don't know. Yeah, if you're not sick, if you want the day off, say I want the day off. If you're not sick, don't lie about it. That's no integrity there. To keep the peace is another reason we do. If I told my boss the truth, he'd blow a stack. If I told my wife how I really feel, she'd y'all defensive. So all these reasons why we lie. But mainly it all comes down to self-protection, self-centeredness, self-importance, self-preservation. And we're supposed to die to ourselves. Because, and we need to understand that when we live by the rules of the world, it leads to chaos. It leads to disorder. And we are to be light in this world. We are to be salt in this earth. We do wrong when morality loses to self-interest. Think about that. When morality loses to self-interest, when we care more about the almighty dollar than we care about our almighty God, and we care more about a certain situation than we care about our integrity. Morality loses in this battle of integrity. The most important quality we look for in a relationship is honesty. Can I trust this person? And when there's no evidence of trust and honesty and integrity, when there's evidence of deception or calculated continual deception, then the relationship is quickly over. And this is why I go back to Psalm 15, keep your oath even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. James says this here. James chapter 5 says, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. It sounds like just like what Jesus says. But James adds this, or you will be condemned. Do you understand how serious this is? And to understand a couple of other passages in the Bible, what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. We're all members of the same body. Being a person who lives by the Spirit, we put off falsehood. We speak truthfully. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, do not lie to each other since you have taken off the old self with its practices, since you have died to yourself, since it's not about protecting yourself, since we're living a life that brings glory to God, then we got to put off this falsehood. Stop lying to one another. This is a Christian worldview. We talked about this about 2-3 weeks ago. Do you have a Christian worldview or a secular worldview and you go to church? But if we come to church and we've given our life to Jesus Christ, we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And what does Christ ask of us? And we are to put off falsehood. Look at this, Revelation 21, verse 8. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers. I mean, these are terrible people here. The sexually immoral. Those who practice magic arts. The idolaters. And all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is a second death. Do you understand? Liars are a part of that list. Liars are part of it. And I got this. This is in the outline someplace there on the bottom. What does it say? That majority of Americans believe it's wrong to lie under oath. But the majority of Americans believe lying in general is no big deal. You have a problem with that? You should have a problem with that. It doesn't matter if you're under oath or not. A lie is a lie. There should be no reason for us to swear. If you are a Christian, you have put off falsehood. Your yes means yes, your no means no, because Jesus commands it. So the Pharisees, they were looking for a loophole. The Pharisees were looking for a loophole. Your God is looking for integrity. It says in Psalm 51:6, surely you desire truth in the innermost parts. God desires truth in our inner being. And are you living your life like a Pharisee? Are you living your life like a hypocrite? Or are you living your life for God, trying to be a person of integrity? Integrity is a firm adherence to a code. And when I say a code, and I'm thinking, and here we're talking the Christian code. We live for Jesus Christ. So our yes will be yes, and our no will be no. Why? Because Jesus says so. This is what Jesus wants. And did we not pledge our life to Jesus? He's our Lord. And if Jesus is our Lord and this is what Jesus is asking of us, then let your yes be yes and your no be no. Go no further than that. There should be no need to go any further than that because you're a person of integrity. And another reason why we should be people of integrity is because the world is watching. Do you understand the world is watching? I'll give you this illustration here. Dave goes to church, but his neighbor Tom doesn't go to church. Dave reads his Bible, but Tom doesn't. Dave listens to Christian radio. Tom likes country music, not pagan stuff. So, just got that. Dave charges some items to the local hardware store, and he never paid. Tom owns the local hardware store. Dave invited Tom to church. Tom stayed home because Tom's looking at his neighbor like he's a hypocrite. The neighbors are watching. Your family is watching. Your friends are watching. The world is watching. Are you going to be a hypocrite? Are you going to be a Pharisee that's looking for loopholes in the Word of God? Or are you going to be a Christian who's living out the Word of God? To be persuasive, we must be believable. To be believable, we must be credible. To be credible, we must be truthful. I'll give you another reason to be a person of integrity. It is because God can bless that. God will bless that. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sits in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And not only, he doesn't just study the word, he's living the word. He wants to live a life that's worthy of God. The Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, the righteous man leads a blameless life. The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Integrity is so important to your relationships with others and with your relationship with yourself and with your relationship with God. Being right with God, having peace with God, truly living the life that God is calling you to do. So there's an application here. Let me finish up here. The application here. I'm going to ask you right now, take moral inventory. And what I mean by that, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Be ruthless on yourself. We're trying to get at the heart of this. Are we just Pharisees that go to church? Is that all we are? Are you deceptive? Do you intentionally mislead others? And are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? We got to die to our old self. And if you see the old self popping back up again, kill it again. Don't let that. We walk away from that stuff. That's not us anymore. Secondly, I want to ask you to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. When you gave your life to the Lord, you were given the Holy Spirit, a gift from God. And that Holy Spirit is there to help you walk with God in the ways of God. In John 16, verse 13, it says, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is trying to guide you in truth. But he wants you to be truthful. He wants you to be a person of integrity. It says in Ephesians 4, where it says, put off all falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbors. It goes on, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, wanting you to be a person of integrity. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit who's trying to help you live the life that God is calling you to live. Third thing I ask you to do is welcome accountability. Find someone you trust and ask them to hold you accountable. And you know the reason we don't do this? I think the reason why a lot of us, we purposely don't have an accountability partner, a lot of it's ego, because we don't want to be held accountable. But you think about it, is your ego more important than your integrity? How important is integrity to you? And if it is important, then let's come up with systems that we can protect our integrity. I used to be with a men's group, and we would ask ourselves these questions every time we got together. Question one, have you read your Bible this week? And the second question, have you obtained money inappropriately? The third question, have you been in a situation with someone that you don't want your spouse to know about? Fourth question, have you looked at pornography? And the fifth question, have you just lied to me? I hated that question. Man. Number four, begin by being truthful with God. Start right now and be honest with God. The Bible tells us to confess, we are sinners. I am a sinner. I need Jesus Christ because I can't do this on my own. The world's just pulling at me too hard. I keep on getting back into the garbage of this world and doing it the world's way rather than God's way. Lord, help me. Lord, help us all. It says in 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I want to ask us right now to take some time and confess our sins to God and ask for the Holy Spirit to help us not be like the foolish Pharisees, but to help us be the people that God is calling us to be. The people that Jesus Christ is wanting us to be.